You could open up my head, I know you'd find chaos in the corners of my mind. My train of thought is racing down an old familiar track, where it's hard to tell the truth from all the lies. And imaginations have their pros and cons. I've worried many times what might go wrong, only then to realize that most of what I fear, nothing more than fiction all along. And if I say the Holy Ghost is in my heart, and I rest on every word the Father says, why is it I struggle to relate all of the faith that's in my heart up to my crazy part is how I can decide to pursue a thought or brush it to the side. There are ways to go about it, but for me the one that's right is when I take each thought a prisoner to Christ. Yeah, when I make each thought obedient to Christ. If I say the Holy Ghost is in my heart, and I rest on every word the Father says, then why is it I struggle to relate all of the faith that's in my heart up to my head? All of the faith that's in my heart up to my head. All of the faith that's in my heart up to my head.
Amen and amen. I figured that was a fitting song because I was trying to find a song to tie into this message about tonight. You know, because it had me thinking about a lot of things, especially in the last several weeks, what's been going on for the last, well, basically 3.5 weeks, 4 weeks now in a month, because this message was really intended to be, I guess, preached to y'all about almost 4 weeks ago, but it got sidetracked and something else came up. And then, you know, coming with Christmas and Thanksgiving, you know, so, you know, again, you know, I was hoping that the majority of our members would have been here tonight to hear this message, you know. There's some that I do have on mind because I feel the message was intended for them. You know, I've been sitting here, and me and Lisa have been talking a lot, you know, and I have been debating and praying and giving a lot of meditations whether or not to continue doing online sermons here in this Discord channel, because apparently, you know, like I'm saying, I'm not saying I'm disappointed, but in a way I am. But, you know, we got so many members here, and it seemed like there's just no desire for them to attend this, you know, to hear. Again, I'm not trying to paint pictures to me. I'm not trying to say, you know, hey, you know, look at the message that I'm preaching, you know, but the Lord leads me in these directions, and you know, and I'm not trying to brag because we're not supposed to according to what the Bible says. But, you know, these are many good messages. I feel a lot of people who are here, if they would listen to these, will gain something out of it. But it seems like to me there's no desire. There's no hunger. They try to come into these chat rooms. All they say is looking for Christian fellowship. They need people to talk to. They need this, this, and this. You know, as Lisa, she puts it best. When many get here, they don't get that instant gratification. And that's it. We hear them no more. Lisa, Fred, Beth, y'all about the only ones who decides to try to do your best to attend these. But, you know, I'm still going to think on a lot, but I may think about it. It's time to shut this part of it down and pursue doing live sermons on Facebook where it could probably reach a different audience. You know, again, being live, anybody can just join it and, you know, and just jump right on in, listen to a little bit of it and leave, because right here it seems like our members don't want this no more. It's just like, you know, and I agree with what you're saying, Lisa, it's like, they want the instant gratifications in here, and this is what we don't offer. So it's kind of going on the downside, and that's why I played this song, because, you know, for us to sit here and take our time, and each one of y'all got better things to do. You could be doing better things, but yet you do take the time to come here to listen. But the majority of them that does say they want this don't come here because there's something lacking in the heart, in my opinion. But there's been a lot of people been coming through here that I've been talking to, especially what I call that pre-server. You know, the attitudes, the negativities that they've been dealing with, that's why I was led with this, because I think y'all can relate to this tonight. And if there's somebody that listens to this later on, good, I hope you get something out of it. But this is why I was led in this, because, you see, me and my wife, Cher, we went out and ate yesterday. As weird as it is, we call a good lunch breakfast at Waffle House. I don't know if there's Waffle Houses in y'all area, but we went to eat at Waffle House because, hey, there's nothing wrong with eating breakfast at almost 1 o'clock in the evening. I like it, you know what I mean? It suits me fine, you know, but we was talking a little bit about before yesterday evening's Bible study, and me and Sherry have been talking about this a lot because I've been seeing this a lot. And I don't know about you, but I think maybe once I say what I'm fixing to say, I think you can agree with me. You, where you live or where you go or the people that you've been dealing with or whatever, I think you see this also. I'm pretty sure all of us has. But like I told my wife, you know, last night before I started Bible study, you know, if I could, if I had the money, I would sell all this, give it up, move to somewhere like, you know, my favorite place to go to is called Maggie Valley in North Carolina. The mountains, the Smoky Mountains, as they call it. I would love to go up there somewhere, find a little small, like Mayberry-type community, you know, like we used to see on Andy Griffin Show. But I want to find a little community like that, live up in the mountains to get away from all this stuff, to get away from all these people, to get away from their stinking attitudes, their negativities, and all this junk. Because quite frankly, I am sick of it. I don't want to be around it no more. I'm tired of hearing it. I think you can say yes to the same thing too, because every time that you turn on the TV, you're seeing it. Every time you run across somebody, they got a negative attitude, they just throw it out on you. You know, I'm sure that you see it in your families. It's getting to the point, you know what, enough is enough. And I was talking to a couple of gentlemen that was here, that no longer hanging here. Their names are still on the list because I hadn't removed them from the server yet. But the moment they got in here, that's the only first thing that's coming out of their mouths right off the back. Negativity, 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 negativity. We had some former members who was here all the time, and every day that's all we saw, negativity, negativity, negativity. And quite frankly, I'm going to be truthful to you, I was not coming online because I was avoiding them because I didn't want to be around them. Who needs that? And I was kind of bad at that myself too, but I got to the point, you know, I realized I was doing it, so I had to stop it. But honestly, folks, who needs that? And this is why I'm saying lately, in my experience of walking with the Lord and with many encounters of all people of all ages, one thing that I run into a lot, it's people basically living in negativity. And folks, I'm just not talking about the general world. I was talking a little bit about the flesh last night and those of us who's in the spirit and those who's in the flesh. Yeah, I'm fixing to sneeze again because my sinuses have been acting up lately. It just seems like, scared him. See, I just don't know why. I just get hit with sinuses. I'm getting hit with deaths. I'm getting hit with other things. You know, I told Lisa this morning I'm fighting an outfit in Texas. You know, I got a toll booth ticket violation sent to me in the mail. My license plate on some other car. Now I'm dealing with that, and they're giving me the runaround. So, but even the sheriff's department, I called in Harris County, Texas. Guess what? The lady gave me negativity. She gave me a lip. I'm trying to resolve a problem, saying that there's somebody riding around in that county with a fake license plate that's up to no good, but that license plate is coming back to me. And she didn't want to even try to help me. She was just downright rude, ugly, and negative. I'm like, good grief, this is supposed to be law enforcement. Now, I understand why law enforcement's like that. But this is why I'm saying everybody I've been running to of all ages, people are just living in negativity. What's more sad than anything else? Many people that I encounter in Christ, they themselves are just downright negative. And they're so bad with it that you just don't want to be around them. I'm seeing a lot of this in people in churches now. They're so negative, you avoid them. You walk down the hallway, you see them, you try to go somewhere else. Or you go in places, you know, gatherings or food events or whatever, and you see them and you know they're so negative because usually as a minister, I usually ask people, hey, well, how are you doing today? Well, I'm not just doing too good. Oh, no. I didn't want to hear this. Why did I have to go open my fat mouth? You see, folks, you don't want to hang around for this particular reason. And the main reason for me not hanging out with them anymore, and I don't want to, I should, because as a pastor, I should. I should overlook all this. But I can't help it. I have to get away from it. But the reason why I don't hang around a lot of people, the reason why I try not to hang out with a lot of people here online, that newcomers we get in here, their negativity ends up bringing you down. It's like garbage. It just drags you down. You're in such a fine mood, you log in the morning, like I do a lot of the morning, and I got a cup of coffee, and I see some, you go, hey, how you doing? And right off the bat, boom. So my day is shot. It's like a cancer, that thing just jumps on you. Look, please forgive me. Those of you who's listening to this later on, I'm not here to criticize no one. I'm not. But the fact of the matter is this. Those of you who are so negative, who wants to be around that negativity? And then why do you blame us for not wanting to hang out with you? Why do you blame us? You get so mad at us because we don't want to talk to you. We don't want to hang out with you. We just don't want to be in the general vicinity with you. And yet you get mad at us. And I have encountered that here in this chat room. People get so mad at us whenever we don't want to hang out with them or talk to them. So why do you take it out on me? Because, you know, you're bringing me down, so that's why I'm trying to avoid it. I'm not going to mention no names, but there's a couple of them that came in here. You know, when I was watching them for about a week, I'm like, oh, goodness. I'm just going to act like I'm invisible. I really am. And look, I get this. I do. And from experience, look, it's easy to criticize others. It really is. And yet we know that it's usually far easier to find faults in people rather than finding solutions. It's real easy to do that. We can find faults very easy rather than looking for solutions. Still, the urge to criticize others remains a powerful temptation for most of us. It does. It does. The urge to criticize remains a very powerful temptation for all of us. Now, bottom line here, folks, negativity is highly contagious. It is. I will say it is. We can give it to others who, in turn, give it back to us. The stress-inducing cycle can only be broken by positive thoughts, heartfelt prayers, encouraging words, and meaningful acts of kindness. But why are there just so many people who are plain outright negative in life? Why? Especially those who claim to have Jesus. Now, I don't know if you pondered about that question. I had to think about this because this was a long time writing this message. You know, I really had to sit here and ponder on many of these questions I'm posing to you now. So I had to start thinking about this. Okay, wait a minute. All right. Why do so many people who's just plain outright negative in life, especially those who claim to have Jesus Christ? And I had to think about this. I had to kind of, what is the main reason? What's the main cause? Why? Why are they like this? I can expect that from a sinner. I can expect that like from people in the world. But you think someone who claims to be of the Holy Spirit shouldn't be that way? But they are. I got some people I know in real life who claim to be Christians, but they are so negative, I no longer go visit their houses. So why are they like this? Well, to me, I think this is me. You can get mad at me if you want. You know, you can say, well, quit listening to this sermon and after whatever you want to do. That's fine. But to me, the most reason I think is because many of them neglect their devotional life. I think that's why they're so negative, because they're neglecting their relationship with the Lord. If you was with me in last night's Bible study, you kind of understand why it's so important for us to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be living in the Spirit, than rather living in the flesh. But there are many who said yes to Christ. There are many who said, you know, I serve Jesus, but yet they're still so negative. But I think the reason why they're negative, because they are not taking the time to have a devoted spiritual relationship with God. They're not willing to look at their own selves and say, you know what, maybe I do have problems and I need your help, Lord. They will not confess that. They will not admit it. Yet they still would rather stay in negativity and tear down whoever is with them. Because the reason why I say I think they neglect a devotional life, because their lack of prayer is one of the problems. Their lack of Bible reading is another problem. Their fellowship with the Lord brings them to defeat in their eyes. You think, well, wait a minute, their fellowship with the Lord brings them defeat? Yes, because again, they are trying to do, as I pointed out last night, instead of being led by the Holy Spirit to have that abundant life that Jesus told us to have, they're trying to do it their way. They're defeating the Holy Spirit themselves, and therefore, by defeating the Holy Spirit, you're quenching the power of the Holy Spirit, you're making the Holy Spirit inert, so you are still living by the flesh, so therefore, you're allowing that negativity to drown you, and that negativity is the one that's causing you a lot of problems, and therefore, you neglect your spiritual devotional life. That's me. This is what I can analyze. This is what I think is going on with many. Because here, I think the reason why they are so defeated and so negative, and I said this last night, they have not learned what it really means to surrender their lives to all those negative feelings to the Lord and live the positive life that He wants us to live. They refuse to surrender. They refuse to die to self. They refuse to turn all that over to Him. They say, yes, here you go, Lord. But they pull a little bit of it back. That's why I said last night, we have to learn what it means to die to one's self. When we say yes, when we say we surrender, folks, it has to be everything. If you want that abundant life that Christ has promised us, you've got to learn to surrender all. You've got to learn to basically die to the flesh. And that can only be done by the true power of the Holy Spirit. So if you've got a lot of negativity in your life, then you are still hanging on to the flesh. You have not put that thing to death. And many live this way, because here's another reason why I see what's going on with them. This is why they're so negative. And I think this should be the number one reason they're still living this way. They refuse to change. If we was all gathered together in a room, I probably would have gotten some amens out of that. If I hadn't gotten no amens out of that, then probably many don't want to admit, oh, Jim's right, but I'm not going to say it. But that's the problem. They refuse to change. They say yes to Christ, but they don't want to change. They say yes to God, but they don't want to change. They identify their problems, but they don't want to change. I think many likes that. And the sad part here, as thoughtful servants of God, they fail to see the real truth. They do. They fail to see the real truth. And that is, we have no valid reason and no legitimate excuse to be so negative. You and I, who's truly been led by the Holy Spirit, my friends, as I said last night, the lesson in the sermon's kind of tying in. You and I should have no valid reason, none whatsoever. We should not have no excuse, none whatsoever, if we are living in the Spirit. Because if you still live in a lot of negativity, you refuse to change, you refuse to surrender, you refuse to die to self, you refuse to allow yourself to be under total control of the Holy Spirit. And that's the problem. You refuse to change. But yet so many, even Christians, live this way. And because of that, they do not know what abundant life is all about. Why do I say that? I lived that part for a while. When I said yes to Christ, but I was still living in a lot of negativity. Like I see so many that comes through this room. Because in one part, I was refusing to really change. Oh, I changed a little bit, but not 100%. I had to hang on to the other 10%, if you want to call it that. But when I realized it, I had to change. I changed. It's a work still in progress. It's still an ongoing thing. But I changed. I realized that I myself was dragging other people down. But yet those people who are still so negative, that's why I said, they get so mad at you whenever, oh, not you again. And we find ourselves, you know, I will admit it, that I find myself sometimes making excuses to get away from a conversation. To a point, sometimes, I hate to say it, I lied. Because I didn't want to talk to the person no more. No matter what I tried to say, no matter how much I tried to encourage, no matter how much I tried to uplift, they didn't want to listen. So I made an excuse. I lied to get out of conversations just to get away from it. And that's why I'm reluctant to talk to them afterwards. So folks, whenever we are tempted to be overly critical or negative of others, or unfairly critical of ourselves, we must use the transforming power of God's love to break the chains of negativity. In other words, we must defeat negativity before negativity defeats us. If you don't learn how to do that, you're not going to learn that happy, abundant life that you seek. So with that, if you got your Bibles, follow along with us. Lisa, she posted the verse for us. Thank her for that. We're going to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And look what it says, folks. Wonderful words. And he's saying, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about them. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight, and we thank you again for these three kind folks that's here tonight. Father, I don't know why the other folks that's normally used to be hanging out here don't want to come no more. I'm not here to criticize them. I'm not here to point fingers at them. I'm going to leave that in your hands. But it's just so discouraging at times to see people just don't want to fellowship as they claim they want. They come in here to say, oh, I need fellowship. I need to be with brothers and sisters. I seek other Christians to be around. But they don't make forth the effort. It's like, you know, my dear friend Lisa says, it's like they just only come here for instant gratification. If they don't get it, they don't want nothing. They go look elsewhere. That's what I think. And Father, I kind of got the feeling, hey, it is the sign of the times. It is what we are in the days that we're living in. You know, I firmly believe, according to the words, we are in the days of Noah. I really do. Hatred, negativity, despair, loss, anger, rage, jealousy, you name it, all the stuff of the flesh is taking over many. And I see many Christians struggling in this area. Because again, they do not want to nail the whole thing to the cross. They want what your son has to offer, but they don't want to give it all up. They don't want to change. If you're going to change, if we're going to change, that means we got to get rid of all things and start living more like Christ. And I think that's what's happening. Many want Jesus, but they don't want to live like Jesus. So I ask you to bless those who are here tonight. Deal with those for whatever reason they didn't want to be here. That's between you and them. I just ask for some guidance, Father, to decide which new direction do we go and what venture do we try next. You know, I'm not trying to give up, but it's just, you know, I just need your direction on what to do. So thank you again for allowing us to gather here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And unfortunately, I ain't drinking water. I'm drinking hot coffee, and I shouldn't be, but, you know. So here's the title. Y'all seen it. The bot says it. Y'all three are here. So y'all seen it every time y'all been here in the last week. But in case you who's listening online, the title of this message is, and this is why I've been really taking my time going through this and putting this together for us. And that's why I had to really point all these things out in the introduction. But the title for this message tonight is How to Defeat Negativity. Now, before you go run out and buy self-help books and stuff, and I go, oh, yeah, all I need to do is just go buy this book and that'll solve all my problems. No, it won't. If I could turn my camera around, I can show you a bunch of books in here. I got a bunch of books about negativity and stuff like that in here, too, on my shelf. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 shelves with books out of Yang Yang, and a lot of them are what I call self-help books, but you know what? They don't do nothing. The true way to defeat negativity is only through Jesus Christ. That's it. Total and unconditional surrender. That should be in the message. Bam. I'm done, so let's go for the night. But like I said earlier, why are so many, and I'm talking about Christians, because I can't aim this at non-believers, because if they don't have Christ, that's why they are so negative. That's why they're living in negativity, because they don't know Jesus. But those who claim to know Jesus, who said yes and said, Lord, come into my life, but still living a life of negativity, they're not living the abundant life as Jesus claimed that they should have, because they're missing the whole point. They refuse to change. So how do we defeat this negativity that so how do we defeat the negativity that so much became a stronghold in our lives if we're dealing with it? How do we give it up? And look, yes, we can be optimistic. I am. I'm optimistic a lot. Some of you who knows me, you know I am. Sometimes I'm not quite sure. Hey, we all have those moments. How can we be optimistic, folks? Can we be optimistic? I would say yes. And we do so by deliberate action of your will, that you can decide to do one or two things. You can decide to be downright negative, or by your own actions with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can decide to start having a positive outlook. And I do. I have a positive outlook every day. But as my dear friend said this morning, you know, she's been watching me. Man, it just seems like, brother, every time you turn around, something's happening with you. And I'm like, yeah. I feel like I'm tied to a pole and there's a mule right behind me kicking me the whole time, will not leave me alone. And sometimes it's rough. That's why sometimes I do get a little negative. Because, man, you know, okay, Lord, when can I be exempt from all this? You know, and I look at the life of Paul. Paul had a hard time, but he wasn't negative, but sometimes he was. We see this in Romans. So how can we have a positive outlook in life? Can you have a positive outlook in life? In doing so, we say, yes, we can, because what we can do, we can start making daily decisions that are necessary to attain peace. And we can do this by concentrating on God's good plan for your life. And by doing so, it will bring victory over negativism all the time. When you're so focused on God's plan, you're so focused on serving Him, and you're so focused on giving everything to Him, if you have decided, you know what, okay, I'm not going to live like this person anymore. I'm going to start living the positive way by the help of the Holy Spirit, by wanting God's plan for my life. Yes, there's going to be some ups and downs. Yes, there are going to be things coming at you. And I'm dealing with it, and I know how it is. And sometimes it really wants to make me so negative, but I have to sit here and shake my head, no, I don't want this. I want to live that abundant life Christ tells me to live. Now, we might as well face the cold, hard facts here, folks. Some people, again, as I just said earlier, some people just has a plain, outright negative attitude in life. Ew. They do. Their pessimism brings unhappiness to both themselves and others around them. And one of the biggest reasons I see that so many are being negative or being in a negative mood is because many, and listen to this carefully, and you may have caught this last night. The reason I see that so many are in a negative mood is because many depend on their own power instead of and asking for and depending on God's strength and letting the Holy Spirit do what He does best. I think that's why the problem is. But I think the reason why other people like to stay in negativity all the time, love being negative, and this is something I drew a conclusion to myself, they love living that way. And you probably can agree with that, some of the people that you have encountered. They love living that way. They love just being so downright doom and gloom. Again, I'm not calling out names, but we dealt with many that came in here, and every day that we dealt with them, that's how they were. I think they love that. They love being down. And I keep shaking my head. Oh, goodness, do you not get it? Do you not understand that you got the power to defeat this thing, but yet you still want to live in that area? You're probably sitting here right now, oh, I think this was a waste of time sitting in this sermon Brother Jim doing tonight. No, I'm just trying to help us understand, those who are here and those who may listen to this, why negativity is really such a ruling factor in many Christian lives today and how to get rid of those things. And you got to understand this, my friends. You need to understand that God wants to help us. God is there to help us. God is there to get us out of it. But we must ultimately make the choice. We have to decide today, I'm not going to be this way no more. But Holy Spirit, it's going to take you to do it. You need to make that choice and you need to surrender. But we also must do our share too. It's a little bit on our part that we have to do. For we are workers together with God. All of us are. And if we're going to overcome negative thinking, Here's the key, my friends. If we're going to overcome negative thinking, we must take a biblical approach to it. So, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What are some ways that we can defeat negativity? What are some ways we can defeat it? I got a few of them for you. The first way to defeat negativity is, are you ready for this? The first way to defeat negativity is by your decision. Why? Are you kidding me, Jim? No. That should be the number one way to defeat negativity is strictly by your decision. That simple. You can't, oh, Jim, it just can't be. You want to bet? It's that simple. But you have to decide. And purposely put into your heart, say, Lord, today I'm not going to be negative. And why do I say this? I'm going to back this up with scriptures. Look at what Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says. Pay attention to what's in the wording, folks. It says it right there. It says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set forth before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, look, here we go. Therefore, at least I had to correct me on that last night. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Why? Are you kidding me, Jim? Really? As a choice? Yes. Yes. By your decision, choose. That simple. The Word of God just told us. Some people just has a negative attitude. They burnt that into their brain. Their pessimism brings unhappiness to both themselves and others all the time. Yes, you can be optimistic. Now, by deliberate action of your will, you can decide to have a positive outlook. And that hit me one day when I realized, are you kidding me? It can't be just that simple. Can't be. My pastor friend was sitting on the other side of the desk and he looked at me, smiled ear to ear. Yes, it can, Jim, but you got to decide. Your decision. Come on, dude. It really just can't be that simple. He shook his head and laughed at me. You want to bet? Tried. Choose today to say, you know what, Holy Spirit? Let's today, I'm going to be happy, joy, regardless of what I'm facing. And see what kind of effect it has on people. And you'll be surprised. Why? You'll be surprised what kind of effect it has on you. So in order to do this, daily decisions are necessary to attain this. Daily decisions are necessary to attain this. Concentrating on God's good plan for your life will bring victory over negativism. Why do I say this again? Well, here is what the Word tells us also in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You want answers to things in your life, folks? Look, you want answers to everything? Seek God's words. Seek. I'm going to be talking about that next week. All your answers right here in the Word of God. All your answers. But here, how that you can defeat negativism. And it says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So, real quick, instead of focusing on the negatives today, focus on the goodness of God's way and His plans and how He wants us to live. Focus on that. Focus on God's way. Focus on how God wants us to live. The second way to defeat negativity is, are you ready for this? Very easily. Identify the source of negativity. First, you got to make a decision. Okay? Now, second, you got to identify where the negativity is coming from and be honest with it. Be honest with your questions. Be truthful to yourself. Don't try to, you know, renege it. Don't try to think you're going to get around God. Don't think you're going to kind of be slick. Well, make up your own reasons why you're so negative. No, you better be brutally honest with yourself and identify the source of the negativity in your life. And folks, let me tell you something. That is a little harder than we think. Don't we all agree? It's a little harder than we think in trying to identify the negativities in our lives. But it gets better. Our first response is to point out a person or a situation in our life as the source of negativity and drama. Oh, what? Are you kidding me? Yes, because sometimes the other person you're dealing with may be causing the negativity in your life. There are drama queens, as I call them, or drama kings. The moment they see you, they know you, because sometimes you want to just sit there and listen to them because they know they can do that and they get away with it. So they pour it all out on you and they dish it out to you. Well, again, if that is the case, you know, sometimes we call them toxic people. Well, you know what? The simple solution is to separate. I've done that a few times with people here in chat, and they got so mad at me, they accused me and they called me names and said ugly things about me. Some of y'all know who those people are. But they got mad at me because I left them alone. I had enough of it. So if we're going to root it out, we must go deeper. And the easiest way to solve your dandelion problem is to chop them down with a lawnmower. Get on that riding lawnmower, chop them down. If you got a dandelion problem, chop them down, folks. That's the easy way to get rid of it. Now, come on. Have you really solved the problem by doing that? Have you? Actually, no. Because guess what? You whack those dandelions down, and I do it a lot when I cut yards. Does that solve the problem to those dandelions? No. They grow back. In fact, by cutting them down, you kind of stimulate them to grow back even faster. So in a sense, all you did was made the problem worse. To solve the problem, you must go to the root. Go past the person or the situation. Go past the negative emotions. Go all the way down in accordance with what 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 16 says to do. That's how you get all the way down to the root, folks. This passage right here shows you how to do it. Look what it says. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Identify the root of the problem. See, folks, every sin that existed, they all stem from this. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The negativity in your life may stem from a desire that is unmet in your life or an area of bitterness that is left unchecked. Whether it is, you need to follow it down to the root. It's time to repent and it's time to root it out. It's time to root it out. It's time to uproot the roots so that way that negativity no longer grows. The third way to defeat negativity is take every thought captive. Take every thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5 lays it out for you, plain as day. Look what it tells us to do. Take those thoughts captive. Plain and simple. We destroy arguments and every lawful opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You see, folks, the goal isn't just to overcome negative thinking. If this was the goal, then all those positive actions and self-care routines would actually work. It would. If we don't take those thoughts captive, and if we don't really set a goal to overcome negative thinking, then if all them self-help books that has a goal, then those positive actions and self-care routines would work. We can save ourselves a lot of money, but they don't. But for the Christian, there is a greater goal. There is. The greater goal here, my friends, is to transform our thinking so that our thoughts are expressed through the truth of Scriptures. You get that? It's to transform your thinking so that our thoughts are expressed through the truth in Scriptures. God wants our thinking to agree with His thinking. And if you notice this, if you look at a lot of breakdown, which I do, that the Greek word captivity in 2 Corinthians 10:5, what it literally tells us what it means. It literally means to imprison, to bring to submission, so that thoughts are brought into obedience in Jesus Christ. It brings those thoughts in submission. That's what the Greek meaning of that passage means. The fourth way to defeat negativity is, and y'all hear me quote this a lot, renew your mind. What? Are you kidding me, Jim? Well, again, why does the Word of God clearly lay out the ways to defeat all this? Again, look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. That's how you defeat negativity, folks. You got to learn to renew the mind. You got to quit with the stinking thinking. And think godly ways. But look what Romans 12, 2 says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Ding, 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 ding. That's how it's done. You see, once you capture that negative thought, you begin building a new thinking pattern. And again, this goes beyond, and I'm talking about way beyond, positive emotional support as the world offers. Positive emotions really deals with our psyche. Renewing the mind goes all the way to our spirit. You see where I'm going at? Those positive thinkings, the positive emotions, only deals with your psyche. But renewing the mind in a more biblical and spiritual way, by doing it by the way of the Spirit, goes to the core of our spirit. We're not really renewing our mind on a soul level. We're not doing that. What we are doing when we're doing this, we are renewing our mind at a spirit level. And to do so, we must use spiritual weaponry. We must use spiritual weapons. You can't use fleshly weapons. You can't use worldly weapons. It has to be done by spiritual weapons. And we aren't turning negative thoughts into positive thoughts. That's not what we're doing. We're turning negative thoughts into biblical thoughts. When you start taking those things captive, when you start renewing the mind, when you start pulling everything in that I have quoted to you tonight, what you are starting to do, you're starting to take all those negative thoughts and you're starting to turn them into biblical thoughts. And to do so, we have to use the Word of God. Can anybody really, you know, type it real fast if you can while you're listening to me? You know, what is one of our armors that we should be using every day? I know we must put on all the armor of God, but what is one important armor that tells us to yield? Can someone type that real quick? Shield's good, but that's just for deflection. But that's not it. Good answer. Somebody want to hit it again real quick? I'll see if she's going to come up with it before I raise it up. Because I got it right here. Good answer, but not it. The sword of the spirit. Sword of the spirit. We must use the word of God to defeat negativity. To kill it. But the only way to kill it, you have to learn it and use it. Without this weapon, you're going to be defeated. Without that weapon, you're going to be defeated. So to go further, what you need to do, you need to find a verse or a passage that speaks to the source of your negativity and begin memorizing it and meditating on it all the time. The reason why I say this, I'm going to grab it real quick. Some of you probably do this already. I don't know how well you can see it, but these are verse cards. I got them all over the place. I try to do my best to memorize them every day. Some of them I can, some of them I can't. You know, maybe that's just my brain. But that's why I tell you folks, memorize those verses. Use them. Meditate on them. Think about it. And that will help you get victory over negativity. And last but not least, the fifth way, I knew this was going to go into overtime tonight. The fifth way to defeat negativity is, are you ready for this? And I relate to this because I do this a lot myself in real life. Cultivate thankfulness. And the reason why I'm saying that, because see, my thing is, folks, I like getting out and messing around with my flower beds. And if you're like me, you know, enthusiasts in flower beds, you know that you got to cultivate it. You got to tend to it. You got to, you know, add fertilizers and, you know, and take out the weeds and do everything you can do to get the plants to grow. And Lisa said it best, I like that. Cultivate good roots and get rid of the bad roots. And again, you do that with plants. You see some bad weeds growing up, But you take the ground. And you cultivate. You remember that parable, I forgot which part of the passage, where Jesus was going to destroy the fig tree, but one of the guys that was hanging around said, no, Lord, hold on. Give me a year to cultivate it. Give me a year to work with it. And when you come back, if you don't see no changes, then do what you got to do. But give me a year. And what did Jesus do? He gave him the time he wanted. So, a lot of times, we got to cultivate thankfulness. So, we got to be thankful in all things. Why I say this? Because Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 says this. And me and my wife have been working on this every morning for the last couple of months now. I've been doing this when I've been waking up too. I've been thanking the Lord for every day. Lisa does, what is it, Thankful Thursday? I think. I can't remember which day it was. But you do that one day during the week. But she always posts in the room, what are we thankful for today? Now, it shouldn't just be that one time. In my opinion, we should be constantly thanking the Lord all the time. But I do that like she posts on every Thursday. We should be thanking Him every day, every hour, every minute. We should constantly be praising Him. But I do that every day now. The first thing I do when I step out of bed, I start rubbing my eyes. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to wake up this morning. You see, I could have went to bed, and I could have been with Him. That's still a good thing, but He gave me another day. And I thank Him for that day. And then me and my wife pray in the morning before she goes off to work. We thank Him for allowing her to have a job. And we thank Him whenever we gather together in the evenings and have a meal. And I thank Him when I lay down in bed for giving me a bed to sleep in. I'm not going to call out no names here, but there's a lady here in this room. Folks, right now, she's in a dead part of winter. Many of y'all are experiencing a hard winter. She has no heater. No AC. She's wrapped up in blankets with a little space heater by trying to stay warm. And I sat here the other day like, wow. And I was kind of bellyaching about my heater. And this poor lady has no heat. A dinky old little space heater trying to stay warm in 20-degree weather with snow? But look what Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7 says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And folks, when looking at this passage, and this is what caught my eye when I was trying to find scriptures to add with my illustrations. I bet you probably have never considered, and I hadn't either until I realized it when putting this together. I bet that you have never considered thanksgiving to be a spiritual weapon. Really, John? I didn't think about that. It hit me when this was written many weeks back. I never thought about thanksgiving being a spiritual weapon. You know, I said it is our armor, but we wear in different types of armor, but we never thought thanksgiving being a spiritual weapon? Yes. Yes. Because it defeats the negativity in the mind. Now, I'm not saying we're trying to do it in a fleshly way, my friends. No. Because we're thankful that God has given us His Holy Spirit. We're thankful that God has given us His life. But we thank the Holy Spirit. We thank God for allowing us to defeat what's trying to destroy us. But see, it is. And the reason why I'm saying thanksgiving is a powerful weapon, here's why. If you look at this, it's a powerful weapon in your battle, whatever battle you face, because it defeats fears, worries, anxiety, negativity, because what it does when we are thankful, when we're constantly thanking God, instead of focusing on all those other things I just mentioned, it shifts our focus from our circumstances up to our Creator. When those things are bombarding your life, when those things are happening to you, when you start to focus on being thankful, Lord, when you start to focus, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, what it does is focus all those things that's happening to you, that all those things that's attacking you, and it focuses your mind and spirit towards heaven. Because it says so right here, Philippians 4:19, at least if you can hit it, but it's Philippians 4:19, which says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And there's another one, Philippians 4:13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus." See what I mean? My memory verse cards. Whenever you focus your attention away from those things and focus on God, it can be done. Now, we stop looking at what we don't have or what we wish we could change to all the glorious things that God has done in our life. That's what this whole message is about. So in doing so, we became now more aware of who He really is. When you shift all that focus towards Him, you understand, folks, that the negativity in your life must dissipate. It has to go away. Knowledge and understanding of who God is cannot coexist with negativity. They can't. They can't coexist together. It has to be one or the other. The one cancels out the other. And sadly, the opposite is true. When we concentrate solely on negativity all the time, when you're so focused on negativity, like I've seen many people come into this room, they're so negative all the time, guess what they are doing? They lose focus of who God really is. They lose focus. Because they're so focused on their negative, their problems, their circumstances. Look, all of us can get into that trap. We do it sometimes to ourselves. I do. But we got to learn, stop focusing on that, and focus on God. God, look, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. Yes, folks, this was a lot. This was a lot to cover. You might have to come back and re-listen to this message and take notes or whatever. You know, that's why I said I was hoping for so many who's dealing with negativity would have been here tonight. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. We live in what I call an increasingly negative culture today. Like I said at the beginning of the message, every time you turn around and look on the news or go outside or go to Walmart or go whatever, everybody is just so downright negative. Everybody. And I'm like a deer in the headlights, like, ugh, I want to hide. I don't want to go around it. I want to be like a vampire. Kind of negative, so bad. And it's so easy to be dragged down. It's so easy to be dragged down with all that discouraging and depressing events that floods our hearts and overwhelms our minds day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out. It's so easy to be dragged down to all that. And yet so many are caught up in that trap. I call it the rat trap, because they have allowed it. They had not taking their thoughts captive. And folks, you know what I'm talking about. You dealt with people in this room. I've seen it over and over in the last, I've been running this chat since 2011. And many people that came in here, and I tried talking to them the same thing over and over and over. And every day is the same thing over and over and over. Every day is the same thing over and over and over. And I'm thinking, my goodness, are you even listening to what I'm trying to tell you? It's like you want that life. You want to live that way. You want to be the center of attention. You want to be the drama queen, or you want to be the drama king. My goodness. Okay, you know what? Ew, I just don't want to be around it no more. I tried. It's depressing. It floods the hearts. It overwhelms our minds because you're dragging us down with it. What we need to start doing as Christians, we need to demonstrate the positive power of the gospel in our lives. But how is this possible? How can we do this? How do we maintain a positive life and witness in the face of so much negativity in the world? Folks, I'm going to tell you the secret to this. God desires us to say no to negativity and yes to positivity. God desires us to say no to negativity and yes to positivity. He's laid out the outline according to his word for us to do it. Jesus showed us how to do it. We have to learn to start doing it. A positive perspective requires more than seeing a glass as half full. It requires seeing the glass overflowing with God's love, grace, joy, and peace. That's what it requires. You can experience this type of godly positivity. You can. But this requires, my friends, as I said earlier, this requires an inner change. It starts with you. You must change. You must be willing to change. You must practice and have self-discipline. If it means to do what I started doing a couple of years ago, I really started looking at myself, and I was really looking at all the things, and I decided to be like a book and open everything up. Wow. Ew. Dang. Really? It required a change. And I realized it. And it takes self-discipline. And it's still an ongoing process. Folks, bottom line is, negativity is a daily struggle. It is. This is a world that is full of negativity and discord. And if you're one of them who lives this way and acts this way, then something, my friends, is wrong with you. This is not what we claim to be in Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian and you live in so much negative vibes in your life, that you're having so much negativity in your life, then folks, something's wrong with you, because again, this is not who we claim to be. That's not how Jesus told us to live. If you're one of those who's so negative all the time, then what you got to do, you need to put your complete trust in Him. And then you can battle the negativity that's out there in your daily lives. You can battle it, and you can have victory. But last but not least, remember this. To defeat negativity in your life, what we got to do, it's time to rise above those negative thoughts and believe what God says about you and be a light to the world and not be darkness.